You know, one of the things that God, the Holy Spirit, had John write in one of his epistles is that we cannot love God whom we have not seen if we don't love our brothers whom we do see. The King James Version puts it in the form of a rhetorical question. How can you love God if you don't love your brother? But other more recent versions put it in the form of an emphatical statement. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot love God whom you have not seen if you don't love your brothers whom you have seen, who you do see. You're right there with us. And here's the thing. We know whether or not we truly love our brothers and sisters. It's not something that we have to kind of guess at. We know. Don't get me wrong. I know very often a lot of people do a very good job of deceiving themselves. And they will train themselves to believe a lie, even when that lie means convincing themselves that they love someone who they care for very little, if at all. I think it's so important. Like Ms. Hempel said, Brooke Hempel, that we all be honest. I mentioned that there's so much work to be done in the area of showing that we have people who need to be showing love. And I mean showing true love. Of course, we know that we're also told that love should be without dissimulation or without hypocrisy. King James Version uses the word dissimulation. It's hypocrisy. Love should be without hypocrisy. And one of the ways that hypocritical love shows up is the person who decides that, you know what, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that the people that I seek, for when it comes to political candidates are those who really fight against the poor, fight against people of color. They try to pass laws that will obviously make life difficult for people of color and for the poor. And they'll turn right around and say, but I love everyone. I'm a Christian. I have the Spirit of God in me. I love everyone. And they know that a candidate is going to push for policies that will help the poor, help people of color. They're against it. And here's the thing. It's not just white people. Some members of the white community who feel that way. There are some members of the black community who feel that way. There are some members of the Hispanic community who feel that way. There are some members of the Asian and Indian communities who feel that way, who take that position. That if a candidate is going to be someone who is going to fight for the rights of the poor and for people of color, they're opposed to that candidate. They won't even consider that candidate as somebody they might vote for. They think that candidate is going to fight against income inequality. They're going to be opposed to that candidate. And yet they'll say they love everyone. Evangelicals, how did, throughout this conversation, we've been looking at various groups. And I want to share with you how Barna Group conducted their research, including how some of these different groups were defined. So when it comes to evangelicals, they're reported as those who meet 9 sets of criteria, including having made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in their life today, and believing that when they die, they will go to heaven because they have confessed their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. Everyone who considers yourself to be evangelical, regardless of your color, regardless of your race, if you consider yourself evangelical, see where any of these nine criteria meet what you have in mind when you say you're an evangelical. Okay, so again, made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in your life today. And you believe that when you die, you'll go to heaven because you've confessed your sins and accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The seven other conditions. You say that your faith is very important in your life today. Your faith. You believe that having a personal responsibility to share your religious beliefs about Christ with non-Christians is important. You believe that Satan exists. You believe that Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on earth. You assert that the Bible is accurate in all that it teaches. You believe that eternal salvation is possible only through grace, not works. And you describe God as the all-knowing, all-powerful, perfect deity who created the universe and still rules it today. So those are the conditions. Being classified as an evangelical is not dependent upon church attendance or the denominational affiliation of the church attendant. Respondents were not asked to describe themselves as evangelical. Where did you find yourself in there? Okay. We talked about people who are born again. And this is how Barna defined them. They've made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ that is still important in their life today. And they believe that when they die, they will go to heaven because they have confessed their sins and accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. So you see that for the people who are born again, there are some criteria that are identical to the criteria of those who say that they're evangelicals. But there aren't as many criteria. All right, we talked about some of the different age groups. So let's clarify those age groups again. The millennials are those who were born between 1984 and 2002. The busters slash Generation Xers are those born between 1965 and 1983. Boomers were born between 1946 and 1964, and the elders were born between 1945 and earlier stages. We'll take a look at a little bit of this, just a little bit more, as we wrap up this discussion about Black Lives Matter and Christianity.